We'll rocket into this week's rain report for October 14th, 2011 in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. From the Radio Amateur Information Network, I'm Kent Peterson, KC0DGY, with this rain report. In 2007, and again in 2010, NASA astronaut Colonel Douglas H. Wheelock, KF5BOC, became one of the elite corps of astronauts to have spent time on the International Space Station in Mission 25. The Dayton Hamvention was treated to a talk by Colonel Wheelock in the spring of 2011. This week, we bring you the first of two excerpts from his entertaining presentation.
It is really, really great to be here with you guys. I am an amateur of amateurs on ham radio and working the radio. I've been a pilot my whole adult life, and so talked on the radio on a daily basis. Understand the importance of how a radio is your lifeline, especially in any dynamic activity that you're involved in. And we happen to have a ham radio on board the International Space Station. In 2007, it was about 3.5 years ago, I got a chance to fly on the space shuttle Discovery. So I launched on Discovery, went to the space station. We docked with the space station. I did 3 spacewalks. It was awesome. I had the time of my life. At that time, I was a rookie and eyes as big as dinner plates, just trying to listen to everything that I could hear and see others doing and learn from the veterans that I was with. We were on board when we had that torn solar array. I don't know if you remember that. It was in October of 2007. This solar array had torn when we were deploying it. And so we had to actually build sutures. We call them cufflinks because down the length of the solar array, there are grommets that allowed for some expansion and things, but they actually work perfectly for cufflinks as well. So, you know, have a cufflink that works in your sleeve. And so we thought, we had a bunch of smart engineers at NASA. I just love working at NASA because I'm kind of an average engineer, you know, and seeing these people work and actually listening to some of these briefings is, man, I'm really glad I made it into the astronaut program when I did, because I wouldn't be competitive with these young people we have working here now. But everything I ever needed to know about flying in space, I learned in my high school metal shop. Array tore, and we didn't know what we were going to do because now we had this kind of like oscillating sail out there, you know, on the very end of the port wing. So it's of the truss of the space station. So we have a moment arm of hundreds of feet, and we've got this mass out there. We can't deploy it. We can't retract it. And it's just kind of floating out there. So we're trying to think, you know, what are we going to do to fix this problem? And so NASA in its fashion, you know, we sat up there for, you know, for about 72 hours before we had a solution. And we were, of course, on board, and you feel sort of helpless up there. You know that everybody on the planet, you know, that's working with this problem is just scurrying around. There's no sleep, going through a zillion pots of coffee there at NASA to try to come up with a solution to this problem. They called and said, okay, tomorrow morning we're going to have a video conference, and we've got an idea. And I said to my spacewalking buddy, Scott Perzinski, I said, man, I've seen this in the movies before. This is going to be really cool. And we brought up the video screen the next day, and there are our engineers and our trainers on the ground. They had a big conference table, and they took a box, and they dumped out these parts, and they said, okay, this is what you're going to do, a la Apollo 13. You're going to go into the node. You're going to find behind this panel, you're going to find a roll of 12-gauge wire. You're going to grab that roll of wire, grab these wire cutters and these implements out of the tool chest, and we need lots of tape, lots of Kapton tape, lots of electrical tape, and you're going to build cufflinks, and we're going to send you out. You're going to crawl up on this solar array that's still actually collecting solar energy, and be really, really careful because that power strip on the side of the array is carrying about 210 amps into the mast. And of course, I'm listening to all this. I'm writing everything down on my notepad and everything, you know. And I'm with Scott Perzinski. You may have heard that name because he's sort of a legend at NASA. He's a medical doctor, an astronaut. He's flown in space 5 times. He's done 7 spacewalks. He's summited Everest. He's an Olympic luge athlete. And the guy is like, can do nothing wrong. I'm his sidekick, you know, on board. So I remember when we got the call sign, let me share with you call signs, you know, that I've met a few people today that mentioned that they want to change their call signs. But sometimes you get a good one. But sometimes you get a call sign that you don't like. But in the military, when that happens, you got to just deep breath, and you got to act like you really like it. Because if you act like it bothers you, it's going to stick. And you don't want that to happen. So when we got first assigned to our shuttle flight, we had the second female commander of a space shuttle. So Eileen Collins was the first. Pam Melroy was coming right after Eileen in her shoes, and she was the commander of our shuttle mission. She was an Air Force pilot, and she flew fighter jets in the Air Force. And so because her name was Pam, and she was a woman, she's a fighter pilot, she was nicknamed Pambo, like Rambo, you know, only Pambo. So she's called Pambo. She had been known as Pambo for years and years before she even came to NASA. When our class came in, I came in class of 1998. We have a Marine Corps F-18 pilot in my class. His name is George Zamka. All through flight school on into his operational experience with the Marines, he was nicknamed Zambo. So at NASA, they assign the commander and the pilot of the shuttle first, and then they kind of build the complement of the team behind them. And so we have Pambo and Zambo now in the cockpit of the shuttle. And so now the rest of the team, Scott and I and Dan Tani and Stephanie Wilson and Paolo Nespoli, we all had to come up with names that ended in Bo. And I'm thinking like, man, you know, my last name is Wheelock, and so I've been called Wheels my whole life. Not very original, and I don't have a fast car, and I'm not a fast runner, so it just comes from my name. So I thought, I really like Wheels. I just want to stick with that, you know. But know that you have to come up with a bow name. So one of our first training exercises, we went together to Alaska. We were with the National Outdoor Leadership School, and we were with two mediators, trainers with the Knowles Group that's based out of Wyoming. They went with us to Prince William Sound in Alaska to take us out in the wilderness and exercise, expose us to each other's leadership style and techniques, and expose ourselves to our own leadership style and techniques as well. And so I'm a colonel in the Army. I've been in the Army now. Yesterday was 29 years yesterday. I could do like a handful of things very, very good because of my training in the Army. One of those is build a fire. I'm kind of like a grown-up Boy Scout, I think, you know, but I could tie knots and I could build a fire. And then, so anyway, it's raining. It's beautiful there, of course, and it's in August, but I think we had a high of like 52 or something. It's pouring rain, beautiful scenery, but everybody's really, really sweaty, damp, all of our clothes are wet, everything's wet, you know. So we get to the first beach head where we're going to stay the night. And so we're going to set up tents. And they said, and I remember Pambo says, you know, I don't have a call sign yet, by the way. So I don't have a bow call sign. So, and they're thinking of things and, you know, funny things, but doesn't really make any sense. Anyway, Pam says to me, she says, gosh, sure would be nice to have a fire. You know, we could dry our clothes out and cook some food and get warm, you know. Dry our clothes out, did I mention that? And get some dry socks. And I'm thinking like, so what's the problem? I said, do you want a fire? She goes, you can't build a fire when it's raining. I said, yeah, you can. She goes, how are you going to build a fire in the rain? I said, do you want a fire or do you not want a fire? Okay, we want a fire. And I said, you just turn your head and I'll be right back. So we went to the beach. And of course, I worked with the trainers that we had there because their motto there at National Outdoor Leadership School is leave no trace. I wanted them to teach me in their terms how I can build a fire, and then when we leave the next morning that I can leave no trace. And so they taught me that and where to put it on the tide line and stuff like that. So within about 30 minutes, I had this roaring bonfire. I won't divulge my secret of how I did that, but there was an accelerant involved. But so we had this roaring fire, and so now we're all sitting around the fire, and everybody's nice and toasty warm. We've got our socks on a stick, drying them out on the fire, and Pam goes, oh, this is so wonderful. Thank you, Wheels, for building a fire. And all of a sudden, my team goes in unison. It's like, call sign, Flambo. And I was like, and I remember back, it's like, I don't really like this one, but I got to act like I like it, you know? So I'm like, oh yeah, Flambo, that's awesome. I like that one.
You're listening to a 2011 Dayton Hamvention Talk by NASA astronaut Colonel Douglas H. Wheelock, KF5BOC. This is The Rain Report, available as a download from therainreport.com. We'll be right back.
So now I'm being called Flambeau. Scott Parazynski, my spacewalking buddy, you know, he's 6'2", you know, got really long arms, a very well-built guy, just in great shape, Olympic athlete, you know. So we're practicing for our spacewalks underwater in Houston. And so we're underneath the water and we can hear our control team up in the control room. And we had Dina Kintella. Spacewalk in NASA EASE is called an EVA, an extravehicular activity, not a spacewalk. So anyway, so they're called EVAs. And so we had a team of five ladies that were our trainers, where our suit tech, our lead suit engineer was a woman. Our lead trainer on the suits for caution warning was a woman. Our lead flight director of our spacewalks was a woman as well. So we call that team our divas, you know, with a D-E-V-A. But they were our divas. Of course, they love Scott, you know. They just love Scott. And I couldn't do anything right, you know. So we're in the water. And so we're practicing for this solar array because a couple missions before us, they had retracted this solar array. And there was a fray in the guide wire when they retracted it. So they actually had to go out there and kind of poke it with a stick and shake it to get it to fold back into the blanket box. And so we realized that when we move this thing out to the far port wing and we go to deploy this thing, we may come up with a similar problem. So we're going to probably have to go out there and kind of bang on this thing and, you know, poke it with a stick and get it to deploy again as well, which is a kind of a long reach. And of course, Scott with his big beefcake arms, you know. So we're in the pool. And usually during our training, Dina would say, like, Wheels, you could hear the frustration in her voice. Wheels, just stay right where you are and watch Scott and do it exactly like Scott does it. You know, so yeah, oh, here we go again. You know, so Scott gets in there and he comes and she says, we're going to, and this is over the phone, and we've got some of the rescue divers there in the pool and everything. And they're all kind of laughing. You can see them laughing. And I can hear, because they still have the mic keyed up in the room, and I can hear everybody laughing up there, you know. And so I'm thinking, like, you know, I'm just learning here anyway. I'm just a rookie. So Scott, she goes, yeah, we're going to have Scott get in there first. And he's got those long beefcake arms. I think we're just going to call him Beefcake. And, of course, Scott's laughing. You know, this is a term of endearment for a guy, you know. So he's laughing. All the divers are laughing. I'm thinking, like, you know, I get Flambeau. And then, so I come over the speaker and I said, hey, why does Scott get all the cool call signs? I mean, they name him Longbow because of his long arms. He gets Longbow and Beefcake, and I get Flambeau. How about something cool for me? And Dina, without skipping a beat, she comes over the headset and she says, I know, how about Cupcake for you? So... So we were Beefcake and Cupcake. Okay, then we get to space, right? And it's our first spacewalk. And now I'm praying for Flambeau back, you know. Now I'm a Cupcake, you know. So I'm Cupcake now. So we get to space, and Scott's the lead spacewalker. So he's going to go out of the hatch first. And, you know, I'm scared to death. My heart's racing. It's my first time outside in the vacuum of space. So we come out, and my first task, and we practiced 1,000 times in the pool, was to come out, get my bearings, go around the airlock, and there was going to be an antenna, an S-band antenna that had been sitting up there for 6 years. I think it had died like 5 or 6 years earlier. And an earlier crew 5 years ago had bolted it down to the top part of the airlock just to keep it there until it got a ride home. Our space shuttle Discovery was going to be its ride home. So our first task, we were supposed to come out. Scott was coming up the other side, and so we were kind of be head-to-head. And this antenna was sort of asymmetric, and so it had a big, like a mounting bracket that had two bolts in it. And then it had a soft dock feature that was sort of like a ball and socket thing. So you'd have to give it about 15 pounds of pressure and the ball would slide into the socket. So it would hold it there until you can get your drill out and zap the bolts. And so in the pool when we practiced this, you know, we'd zap the bolts and then I'd have to pull the antenna off and then hand it to Scott. Then I was going to crawl around and get in the robotic arm and then he was going to hand it to me. And I was going to ride on the robotic arm all the way down into the shuttle and bolt this thing down. So pretty easy. And in the pool, we zapped those bolts. Scott would get the lower bolt and then he'd hand me his, it's called a PGT, a pistol grip tool. He'd zap that and then I hand him back that PGT. I'd grab the antenna, pull it off, hand it to Scott, and we're off to the races. Well, in the pool, we zapped these bolts, and the antenna would just fall off, you know. So the divers would end up holding it there, and Dina kept saying, Flambeau, listen, Cupcake, when you get there, it's going to have about 20 pounds of pull force against this soft dock feature. So don't take this lightly. Just kind of practice getting the pull vector and everything off of that thing. So I had that in the back of my mind. Okay, it's going to be a little tough to pull it off of there. So it's game time, you know. So it's my first task. So I get out there. It's a 7-hour spacewalk. And we come up. We're about 10 minutes into it. and everything's going great. Scott zaps the first bolt, hands me his PGT. Boom, I zap the second bolt, hand him back. Both bolts are popped out, and you can see them on the springs. And I reach over and to grab the antenna. It is not budging. I'm rocking this thing, thinking, like, what is going on, you know? And I'm thinking there's another bolt or something on there, you know, that we forgot to do. And I was thinking, like, it's only two bolts, you know? We got cameras on our helmets as well. And Paolo Nespoli, Paolo's our choreographer. He's inside the space station and he can see me struggling. You know, I'm kind of like, I'm starting to sweat now. And I'm thinking, my heart is racing. I'm thinking like, God, it's my first task. What am I doing wrong here? You know, so I'm shaking this thing. I'm rocking it. Well, dissimilar metals, when they're in vacuum and a heat and cold cycle, you know, when in direct sunlight, it can be about 275, 300 degrees in direct sunlight. And then when we go in eclipse, which is every 45 minutes, we're going into eclipse, this, you know, the temperatures can get to be 300 degrees below zero. And you do that for 6 years, 16 times a day, and you've got these metals that like fuse together. So this is what happened, I found out later. But I'm out there kind of rocking this thing, trying to figure out what's going on. I could hear Paolo inside, and he's eating a sandwich or something. He's like, Wheels, how's it going out there, you know? And I'm thinking, like, you know how it's going. You can see it in my helmet cam. I didn't say that, but that's what I thought. And so I'm rocking the thing. And I said, I've almost got it. Stand by, you know? So I'm rocking the thing, you know? And he could see me struggling out there, and I'm kind of grunting and groaning, you know? I'm thinking, like, what in the devil am I doing wrong here? And I hear Paolo says, well, maybe we'll have to get a Beefcake to come up there and help Cupcake. And and I said, not today, Paolo. Not today. So anyway, I got the antenna off, but anyway, the rest of the mission went fine. But that was my introduction to doing spacewalks and how I got the call sign Cupcake.
Astronaut Colonel Douglas H. Wheelock, KF5BOC, one astronaut who served on the International Space Station in 2007 and 2010. We'll conclude his 2011 Dayton Hamvention talk about his spatial experience next week. The Rain Report is copyright 1990-2011 Rain, all rights reserved. Now for Rain's founder and producer, Hap Holly, KC9RP, I'm Kent Peterson, KC0DGY, bidding you a very 73 from all of us at Rain, the Radio Amateur Information Network, www.therainreport.com.